There, joined by the one and only Jeff Beagles. I am John Schmuck. Doing well, Jeff. 1 hour Giants Bills previewing the game, and a lot to talk about today as the Giants get ready for Buffalo. As we expected, after the discouraging news about Victor Cruz's calf on Wednesday, he was ruled out of the game on Sunday by Giants head coach Tom Coughlin. And Jeff, I guess let's start there before we move on to the other news, information, injuries, and that sort of stuff. How does Victor Cruz's absence affect this game specifically? Obviously, the Giants have been playing without him since week seven last year, so not that big of a deal, I guess. But how does it affect this specific game against this specific opponent?
Well, I think that's just now it's just business as usual, Johnny, because they've gone through these three games without him, practicing without him, and evidently something happened where it's not going to be there. But you got to look at guys like Ruben Randall again to step up and have another great game and show that he can be consistent in what he did last week and put it off with this Buffalo Bills team on the road, tough place to play. But you know, more importantly, how is this going to affect this team going forward week to week? Because we don't know exactly if he's going to be back next week. We don't know what type of re-injured, what grade it was. You know what I'm saying? We don't even understand how many more weeks he's going to be out. We just know he's not going to be this week. So.
Was it a re-injury? Was it just a feeling what was already
it
there?
It seems to me like it was a re-injury. But, you know, and we kind of talked, Lance and I talked about this on Monday, was, you know, there's this football shape and there's regular shape. And getting back into the practice mode and running full speed, it just goes to show you that what you do on the side of the field isn't all that it's important, but it isn't game speed or practice speed. And surely what happened to him happened during practice, and it was when things were amped up a little bit. And now it affected him. And, you know, what you didn't want to see, John, was this to happen because, one, you don't know how many – you take a step forward and three steps back. And they took every precaution be able to – that 10 days off after the Thursday night game to bring him back, and they want to make sure he's 100%. And they wouldn't have put him out there if he wasn't. But so this clearly was something that happened, a re-injury of that calf muscle.
All right, now the other two injuries I'm keeping an eye on today, and we'll hear from head coach Tom Coughlin at around 1 o'clock. That's when practice is over, and he'll give us the lowdown on the official injury report. I think most of the guys are going to play, but there are two, maybe three guys that I'm – worried about, quote-unquote. One, Daniel Fells hasn't practiced yet this week, but Tom said on Wednesday that he expected him to play, so that's good news.
Yep.
The Giants do need him, a good blocking tight end, a veteran against the Bills' defense has a lot of funky stuff, so that's number one. Second guy I'm taking a look at, Jeff, is Eric Flowers. He's been practicing all week, but Tom Coughlin quoted he was, quote, gimpy earlier in the week.
Yeah,
so
gimpy.
We'll see how he does this today in practice and whether or not he'll be questionable or probable. I doubt he'll be doubtful considering he's practiced both days. So my guess, he'll either be a game-time decision or he'll be probable and they say he's going to go.
He'll make the trip.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. And then you have Robert Ayers, who apparently had a setback. I'm not sure if that was the word Tom used. He felt the hamstring during practice. I'm not sure if Tom used the word setback, but he felt something about three-quarters of the way through practice on Wednesday. They had to, you know, slow him down.
Yeah.
We'll see if he can go today to see whether Robert Ayers can be in the game. So, you know, this game very well could be one up front, Jeff, and those are a couple key cogs that we'll keep an eye on today.
Well, I think with Flowers, you're in a situation, well, both with Flowers and with Robert Ayers, they went into the game and they won a game last week without those two players. So it certainly shows you that they can do that. It would help if they were in the lineup. So, you know, from that perspective, I think you just kind of move on forward. A lot like Victor Cruz being out, this is a normal team that we've seen on the field the last couple weeks without those players. But Daniel Fells is by far the best blocker. And both of these teams, John, defend the run. They're number one and number two in the NFL. So both these teams are going to have to come up with some sort of, hey, are you going to rush it against me or am I going to rush it against you? Your will against my will. So when you have Daniel Fells in there as a blocking tight end, if that's their strategy to go and run the football, they certainly need him in there too.
Well, here's the trick now. And
there's
you say,
a trick to this.
Who's going
to
rush it against whom? And this will get us to our game preview here. Now, you're right. These are the two best rush defenses in the NFL, and that's great. Here's the difference. The Bills, number one rushing team in the National Football League this year. The Giants are just 21st. So, obviously,
yeah,
I think it could be tough treading for the Giants against a very talented Bills defensive line. Marcel Darius, Kyle Williams, Hughes outside. Mario Williams. I mean, those are four legitimately good players, three of them Pro Bowl, All-Pro caliber guys. And the Giants, they have been inconsistent running the football this year. I talked to Rashad Jennings. You'll hear that interview on the pregame show on Sunday. And he talked about how he really thinks that the Giants' running backs, and he put the blame on the three guys in the unit, have left a lot of yards in the field. He feels the offensive line has provided some opportunities.
Well, that's nice.
And the running backs have made some bad decisions. And he really thinks that if they make some better decisions, that they can do a little bit better. What have you seen from the Giants' running game?
Well, I just think it's been very inconsistent. And with not a lot of, you know, these guys, the numbers come out as, you know, 99 yards, 89 yards. But you're not seeing that big play. And that, to me, is what's missing in this offense, you know, the running.
I think Andre Williams has the only 20-plus yard run from a running back, if I recall.
Yeah, I mean,
I have to double-check that.
That, to me, is what I haven't seen in the running game, to get those 20, you know, those big plays on offense out of the running game. And that comes a little bit with the offensive line and the running backs maybe not seeing where they're supposed to go. But, you know, so that's kind of what I take from their running game. I think it's becoming – to the point where they get it done, but it's really not that impressive at this point. And so I think they got it, and it's going to be a tough go for them against this defense this week.
Absolutely. A couple other things for this Giants offense, Jeff, I want to get to before we flip the script here and look at it the other way. The Giants offense has scored on 15 of their 30 drives this year.
Right.
Now that's third best in the NFL. That's a 50% scoring percentage. That's very good. Now, the caveat there is that the defense has put the offense into very good positions on a few of those, so that's something to keep in mind. Number two, the Bills' defense now has been very opportunistic this year, contrasting the Giants' offense, which has protected the ball especially well.
The
Giants right now only have one giveaway. Only one other NFL team has just won, and that's the Green Bay Packers, so the Giants tied for best in the league.
At +5.
Eli Manning has started the season protecting the ball better than he has in his entire career. He's gone 108 pass attempts this year to start the season. He's never gone that many pass attempts before throwing his first pick in his career. And it's the first time Manning has ever gone multiple games to start the season without throwing the pick since becoming the starter. And by the way, this is the best two-game start to Eli Manning's career in terms of passer rating and completion percentage. And this is three straight games without throwing a pick is the second longest streak of Eli Manning's career. So he's really done a great job protecting the ball, but the Bills are going to test that.
They will. And they've got, let's see on my little notes here, I think it's 5 interceptions. Yeah, they're number 3 in the NFL in interceptions and takeaways. So he's going to have to protect the football. A lot of this statistic that you just went over, John, with Eli is that you saw towards the end of 2014 how this offense started to get into gear, and Eli became more comfortable with what's going on. And I feel that he comes into these games obviously prepared, but I think he understands that, number one, you can't turn over the football, and number two, especially on the road, and number two, I think he just feels more comfortable with the guys that are out there and where he's throwing the football, and he's smart. And I think this offense is, the more it gets going, that offensive line provides him with the protection that he needs, he can be fairly accurate. I know last year his goal was to be 70% on the season. He came up a little bit short of that, but certainly now he's what is he now? Is he up there at 70% completion?
Right now he's at 64.8,
64.
I believe.
So, I mean, you know, and Eli, 70% is for any quarterback, for that matter, is pretty good. I know Tyrod Taylor is up there above that. He's at like 74.
Yeah, but I don't remember the last time a quarterback finished a season at 70%.
No. But that's a high
goal.
That is
borderline pipe dream.
But, you know, in the 60s, 65, 64 is pretty good. So.
And you know what? If you can get to a number like 67, where Aaron Rodgers has flirted with that, I think Romo was actually just over 67 last year, and I think he actually led the NFL in completion percentage last year. Helps when you have a great offensive line and a running game to help you out with that. Obviously, you don't have to force the ball down the field. But, look, if you can be around 65%, that's an excellent year in terms of completion percentage. Now, we've talked all week, Jeff, about the Bills' defensive line, their schemes, Rex Ryan, the blitzing, the communication. So we talked about all that. One thing I want to talk to you about right now, because the fans have heard about all the stuff up front, the Bills actually have a pretty darn good secondary. And their two corners, I think, are very underrated. Right now, Ronald Darby, their rookie, has one of the best, I believe, quarterback ratings against for any cornerback in football. He was a second-round pick this year. And their other cornerback, Stephen Gilmore, is actually their number one cover guy. He's the guy that's going to cover the best wide receiver a lot of the time. And then you throw out their two safeties, which are not quite as strong. Bakari Rambles rotated in there with Corey Graham and Aaron Williams. But those Bills corners can cover. And that, as much as good defensive line play, to me is the cornerstone of a Rex Ryan defense, because he wants to be able to trust those corners to cover so that he can do all that funky stuff with everybody else.
And when you have the personnel to do it, you can do it. And that's what he'll do for you. The Bills defense, number one in the NFL in pass defense, 24 defended, you know, knockdown passes.
Right.
But here's one thing, and we try to build, you know, statistics kind of tell you a little bit the story of how the game's going to kind of go, and you kind of game plan against it. They are 30th in the league in yards per game, and 31st in passing yards per game.
So now, a lot of that has to do with that, but with
that
Patriots
big Brady
game.
Yeah, exactly. But we are in it. You are what you are.
Yep.
Absolutely. When you're developing a game plan against the Buffalo Bills, you know that it's going to be tough going running the football. They got good corners, like John just said.
They're going to challenge you to make those throws.
They're going to try to challenge you, so you got to come up with some sort of a game plan. And to me, I think that you're on the road. You want to, you know, possession, time of possession is key. And both these teams are very good, you know, 15 out of 30 drives scoring. The Bills do the same thing. They're up there they're number five in the NFL in scoring on their first possession. So they can get down there, and they're also – I was just looking over this, all these stats to you. They are number one in the NFL scoring outside the red zone.
Wow, that is pretty good.
Yeah,
well, they surprisingly are seventh in the NFL in terms of plays of 20 yards or more. You don't think of the Buffalo Bills, oh, this big explosive offense, but between Charles Clay and Percy Harvin, Carlos Williams, Tyrod Taylor, they've made a lot of big plays. And by the way, the amazing thing, LeSean McCoy has it.
He has
0 20-plus yard runs.
Unbelievable, which that guy usually has multiples of those. The other one here that stands out, John, is their red zone efficiency. They're 83% in the red zone. So not only do they score when they're in the red zone, they're also scoring outside of the red zone. So big challenge for this defense. And Tyrod Taylor is, this guy's got it together. He's not a rookie, obviously, and he's just been sitting behind Flacco over there in Baltimore for years. But now he seems to be playing with a lot of confidence. I always look at these guys, these young guys, first-year starters. They go on this little run. Until the NFL teams can start to figure them out, they're going to have a game in there where they're just going to show their inexperience.
Well, and I think we saw that in the first half against New England when he struggled to turn the ball over.
Exactly. So at any time, that can come up. And from a Giants perspective, maybe that's this week.
But I want to stress, though, that watching Tyrod Taylor on Sunday is not going to be similar to watching Michael Vick last night against Baltimore. He's a much more accurate thrower.
Very.
And he's not going to take his – he has gotten sacked a number of times this year because he holds the ball, but he will get rid of the ball a little bit quicker than Vick did, who tended to hold the ball. One other interesting thing, we talk about Eli going up against the secondary. They'll press. They'll make you make big throws. The last time Eli faced a Rex Ryan defense in the regular season was obviously the 2011 game, the Victor Cruz 99-yard catch. Now, you remember that game because the Giants made big plays and they beat the Jets and helped propel them into the playoffs, right? Well, Eli Manning in that game was just 9 of 27 throwing the football. Guess how many yards he threw through four on those 9 completions?
16.
No, not per. Total. Total. How many total yards did he have on the 9 completions?
So he had 9 completions for 63 yards?
He had 225 yards passing.
What?
On 9 completions.
I don't remember. I remember the game.
No, but how crazy is that?
Oh, we had a 99-yarder in there with Cruz.
But still, even if you take that out,
that is nuts.
You're still
nuts.
Looking at 15 yards of completion.
Wow.
So they're going to challenge Eli to throw the ball downfield. And interestingly enough, we talked to a guy that covered the Bills earlier in the week, Lance and I, in the show. And he said Rex Ryan basically had a huge mea culpa after that Patriots game where they blitzed, they played a lot of soft coverage, and, you know, Brady dinked and dunked him to death. And he basically said, that was my fault. That was a bad game plan. I'm not making that mistake again. So I would expect there to be a lot of press coverage and not letting the Giants operate all their underneath stuff unscathed. I think they're going to be really, really, really physical at the line of scrimmage.
Well, it would be nice to see the ball go down the field a little bit more than we've been used to
and
lately.
I think there'll be opportunities.
It could be Reuben Randall and Odell Beckham. You know, if there's a guy that can get behind anybody, it's Odell Beckham. So if this is the week that the Bills are going to do that, then let's see how it goes for that. And we have not seen too many of those big plays, big bombs yet out of the Giants offense. We certainly know last year they wanted to do that, and it happened. But where has it been this year? It hasn't been there. So maybe this is the week, John.
Now, in terms of the Giants defense going up against the Bills offense, surprisingly, the Bills actually have the third most offensive touchdowns in the league this year. You don't think of the Bills as this high-powered offense, but we mentioned they made a lot of big plays. They scored 41 points against the Dolphins, and that game was basically over at halftime. They made the Dolphins tap out. They put up 27 on the Colts, which in retrospect, Maybe not as impressive as you originally thought based on how the Colts have played since then. And they did score 32 on New England, though you wonder how many of those were in garbage time after the
garbage
game was,
after
you know,
blew them out.
Almost decided. But they have a lot of weapons. I would gather that since neither LeSean McCoy or Sammy Watkins has practiced yet this week, that neither will go on Sunday, which are obviously big losses for the Bills. But Percy Harvin's been their big receiver. And Rex Ryan,
under the radar a little bit.
And clearly Rex Ryan learned something coaching with the Jets last year because he slipped in there, and they know exactly how to use him.
Yeah, there's no he's a big play guy. So you talk about just getting the ball in his hands, and you got he's got a good chance to make big plays. They have good receivers. They have good linemen. So, that, you know, all around their offense can get it done, and they can rush the football.
How about Carlos Williams?
I mean, okay, yeah, LeSean McCoy's out, but, hey, here comes this kid. And, you know, he's something else. So you're gonna have to wrap him up because he's a strong runner.
And it just shows you, Jeff, we've done the last 2 years so much work on the draft from January to March. I mean, I feel like I've talked about every single person that got drafted in the first 4 or 5 rounds. I don't remember anybody ever calling up and asking about Carlos Williams.
He's a fifth rounder, right?
And it just shows you that these guys, they come out of nowhere. If you just get the right guy in the right system, it can work. And that's why
there's
the draft in so many ways is just a crapshoot.
It really is. I mean, especially from like 3, maybe the 4th round down. You know, I mean, the first 3 rounds, those guys, you know, they're pretty much, you know what you're going to be getting out
of. And depending on the year, the cutoff can be in different places. Sometimes it could be after 2, sometimes it could be after 4.
But I think that these 5th, 6th, 7th round guys that make it like this guy.
And he fits.
I mean, he fits. That's the biggest thing in my mind is he fits the ingredient of that offense or defense, particularly whatever position he's playing, which makes a huge difference. And this, you know, this young guy, he leads the league at 7.5 yards per carry.
It's amazing.
So he hits the hole quick, and you better get up on him.
And I'll tell you what, no one talks about fit a lot. And we mentioned rookies. I mean, just look at what's happened with the Dolphins this year. They go out and give over $100 million to Ndamukong Suh.
Right.
But they do not ask him to play the same way he played in Detroit when he was so effective. No, we're going to fit Sue into our system, and you're going to play differently.
Right.
Well, what happened? The player is now less effective because you're asking him to do something
that you hired him to come
before.
Here to do.
And that's the thing. You're paying him because you're so good at doing A.
Right.
So you're getting $100 million because you're so good at A. But when we get here, we want you to do B.
Yeah. It doesn't sometimes.
That
doesn't
make a whole lot of sense.
It really
does it?
Doesn't. And again, you like to play when you're game planning or even when you're studying players and you're a coach, you want to put them in positions to make plays and get to their strengths. So that, you know, it goes to what you're saying. If his strength is this, then why are they not doing it with him there? You know?
All right, Jeff, you want to get to the calls?
Of course.
Let's
do
it.
Guys.
Remember,
guys
fans,
and gals.
Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win or lose like Jeff Eagles, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today. Let's lead it off with line 3. Nick is in New Jersey up first. Nick, what's going on, pal?
What's up, Nick?
Hey, Jeff. Hey, John. How you guys doing?
What's up, pal?
Super, man.
Good, good. All right, first question I have is, what's going on with Jerome Cunningham? Because Sells is good. I mean, he is reliable. But in my opinion, no, Donnell is just not what we thought he was going to be. I mean, he's horrible.
Well, he's been hurt a little bit. And, you know, you have these players on every roster every single week. John and I, on our pregame show, we get the inactives. And sometimes we sit there and go, why is he inactive? And it goes because there's other players on the team that need to be active. So he's one of those guys at that third. Because they have Whitlock that can be the fullback, they can afford to get, you know, one guy out of there. He's a rookie, so that's kind of – he's kind of in that shuffling position. But
remember, Cunningham hasn't practiced either with a knee injury, so that's a problem
that's
too.
The biggest
he's not healthy.
Thing. But, you know, I like him. I think we all did coming out of training camp this year, I think the Giants, but it's injuries. He just hasn't been able to get healthy.
And the thing about it, too, is that he's only 240 pounds. So, you know, he can be a receiver, but at 240 pounds, you know, you can block a little bit, but you're not going to be a guy that's setting the edge.
Yep. That's why they need Fells back. What was your other question?
Okay, my other question was, John, Jeff, question is, do you guys think this team is ever going to have a pass rush this year? I mean, even Kirk Cousins had all day to throw that ball last week.
Well, it's certainly from if we go from the last 3 games, no. I mean, it's just.
But we're predicting the future.
Yeah,
not
we're predicting
the
future.
Past.
And so I think it's imperative to get Ayers back in the lineup.
Yes.
And get DeMontre Moore and some of those other guys to just start to.
play better.
To play better and to make plays. And, you know, I'll say it again. I've said it many times in this show that DeMontre Moore, to me, this is in my opinion, has to come up with something else in his repertoire, because I think he just too many times goes one way and that's it. But I think Robert Ayers is the key here. I think when he's healthy, he's pretty good. And, you know, even the defensive tackles could certainly get a little more share of their with their load with the sacks.
Hankins, Bromley, guys like that.
You're right, though. If they do not get pressure on his quarterback, even guys like Kirk Cousins, I mean, even though he didn't have a very good game, but, you know, he had all the time in the world, too.
Yeah, and Nick, you know what, and the real trick this week, too, you can't just pin back years and rush this kid either, because then rushing lanes are going to open up and he's going to take off. So this is an even tougher week. You're almost not trying to get to Taylor. You're almost just trying to create a wall and contain him. So it's a very delicate balance this week for the Giants defense.
And you're going
to
see.
Right, well, that's what I was saying, too, because you got good coverage, but Tyrod Taylor can beat you with his left.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And this is the first quarterback, really, they played this year that's going to, you know, up to this point, is going to be a threat. And then, of course, next week, too, they play San Francisco, correct?
Yeah, and Kaepernick's running around. You got it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you, Nick. Have a good one.
And one other thing, by the way, Steve Spagnuolo spoke to the media yesterday. I'm not sure if you saw his quotes, but he said he was in Baltimore for 2 years with Taylor, and Taylor was their practice squad quarterback.
Oh, sure.
And he said that literally he gave his defense fits. He said if he was inside the 10 and he ran, he scored every time. This was his quote now. And you know all the good players that have been on Baltimore?
Oh, yeah.
Athlete on the field at practice every day.
So he's got a little bit of insight on how to defend this kid, even though he was even though he's running the scout team, and obviously what he said was true, that he was schooling the number one defense for the Ravens, which we all know it can be pretty good.
No, not this year.
No, not this year.
It's pretty amazing. You know what's funny, and I'll admit this, and I rewatched the game this morning. Once they went 3-and-out the second time, the Ravens last night, they turned it over on downs. I went to bed. I missed overtime.
I
woke up. I'm driving in the car here with Chris Robertson, who I carpool with, and I'm like, Chris, can you believe, you know, the Ravens are on four? He goes, they won. I go, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it was 20-7 at one point. Right?
The Steelers, my goodness, between the missed field goals, going for it on fourth down and overtime, what a mess.
You know, the thing about Josh Scobie, that you look at him, and they traded to get him because they needed a kicker. But how many times was Josh Scobie ever in Jacksonville lined up for a crucial – I mean, obviously there might have been a couple. Right. But he never had to make any pressure kicks.
Well, and I'll tell you what, too.
Now he's in these games that count.
Absolutely. And they had a chance in overtime after he missed a 2 in regulation to kick a game-winning 48-yard field goal. Mike Tomlin's like, no thanks.
Nope. I'll put my faith in Vic or Bell.
But here's what I don't get. Vic's your quarterback. And look, I think it's a different formula if you have Roethlisberger there or if you have a guy like Eli or Rodgers, whatever. But why would you let Vic throw passes to try to get first downs on third downs?
Give the ball to your guy that runs.
Run the football. And then
Le'Veon Bell will make you 2 yards.
And then it's fourth and short. And instead of running Le'Veon Bell, you're running Vic on a sprint out? Some of the play calling, I just didn't get it.
It's easy for us to sit back and say
it is.
But yeah,
Mike Tomlin looked like he wanted to kill somebody. By the way, oh my God!
I would not want to be in a team meeting room with Mike Tomlin when you lose or something bad happens.
No, I imagine that meeting room today.
That guy looks
great.
He's very fearful. I mean, I don't want to be around him.
Let's go to Andrew.
I won't have
New Jersey.
To be around him.
Mike Tomlin striking fear into punters everywhere. Andrew, what's going on?
Yeah, I listened to Spag. Presser yesterday. It was good, and one thing that I liked everything that he said, but one thing that stood out, someone asked him about a spy, like, because of the athletic quarterback, will you spy? Have a spy, and he looked like not into that. And he said, well, maybe some of the time, but most. But I remember Randall Cunningham and then Michael Vick, and the dumbest strategy I ever saw was they would have a spy, and your colleague Carl Banks, he knows because he's in the highlight of when he missed the sack on Randall Cunningham. Do you remember that highlight?
Well, Andrew, here's the trick. If you want to spy somebody, you have to have the right personnel to do it. You have to be able to get to the quarterback with four down linemen, and you have to be able to cover one-on-one outside. Then you might be able to spare your 11th guy on defense to spy the quarterback a little bit, but I don't think the Giants are in that type of situation right now where they can do that.
what would happen was the linebacker would spy, and they would be 10 or 8 yards behind the line.
Yep.
And then the quarterback would just decide to take off and blow past. So, like, it was like a useless player. They would just, they're not covering anyone.
The bad spy.
Well, you know what, Andrew, you know what they actually started doing is they used to start putting a safety as the spy because they would have a much better chance of getting
right.
that
coming
mobile quarterback.
And, yeah,
exactly.
Making a play. Sure.
Yeah, I like that. The coordinator, Perry Fuel, he started at 3 safeties. Yeah, they're fast, and they can cover an improv if they want to, like, break off and cover a tight end or something.
What else
but
you
I
got?
I wanted to ask injuries. The good defensive lineman, Robert Harris, what is his condition?
I'll know in about a half an hour, Andrew, when Tom Coughlin speaks to the media. I don't think it was a very good sign that he sat out of practice yesterday and wasn't able to go after having to leave practice about three quarters of the way through on Wednesday. I would not consider that a positive sign, but we'll see if
right.
he goes today, and the Tom Coughlin will have words somewhere around 1 o'clock.
And he's got a hamstring, and that's a tough – that's one of those things where those hammies, they creep up on you.
And he missed last week with it.
Yeah.
And I think everyone's disappointed with Cruz because we were all excited for his debut. But secretly, I think it's good that he gets that extra month on his knee because even though it's supposedly healed, you know, it's just like that little bit of time may make a difference. And I just wanted to talk about the running back. I think Andre Brown is ready to take over. Last year, I could see Rashad Jennings being the starter because Andre Brown didn't really know all the protections and he was a rookie. But Rashad Jennings is pretty good, but he's, you know, nothing great. He seems like he fumbles. He blew the Arizona game last year. He fumbled. No one, you know, he fell down on his own and fumbled. Last week, he was ruled down, but he fumbled. And Andre Brown seems like the opposite of a fumbler.
Andre Williams you're talking about.
Yeah, Andre Williams.
Okay.
Andre Brown used to be our running back.
Yeah, he's long gone.
Vereen is good. And it's like you use the analogy of the NBA, like who is the starter. It's not that important because the guy who comes off the bench may get the same amount of minutes.
Yeah, they use those guys accordingly.
It's not like 1986 or today Rex Ryan, ground and pound. It's half of the time they're passing – West Coast, so whoever the starter is isn't as important, but I think Rashad Jennings should be demoted down to number 3, and the other two guys should be ahead of him.
Andrew, here's the bottom line. When they get into these games, whichever running back is being the most effective will get most of the carries.
Yeah.
I mean, if Williams is showing over the course of the game that he's running the ball better than Jennings, he'll get more carries. And I think the Giants are in a good spot. Thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate
it. They're in
it.
A great spot.
That's the spot that they're in. Yeah. Rashad said everyone's been pretty comfortable with all the opportunities they've got.
I think
they've split the plays pretty well.
Last week they did, right down the line. I don't know exactly what the numbers were, but they were pretty close. And each one of them brings a little bit different skill set. You know, I mean, Andre Williams seems to be the big thug, you know, the guy that's going to go in there and run you over and get you some hard runs. And Rashad Jennings is a little bit more finesse. He likes to hit the hole and dance around there a little bit. And then you bring in Shane Vereen, who can get you some hard yards. But he's so valuable out of the backfield on passing downs. And you know, Shane Vereen's a good blocker, too. I mean, you look at him chip on some of these guys to get out and catch the football. It's pretty impressive. So, to John's point, they're all going to get their share, and if you just ride the wave, whichever guy gets hot, then you just keep them in there. But you know you got a couple guys behind them.
All right, let's get back to the calls at 201-939-4513. Remember, fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, a daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today and listen on to the end of the show where Jeff Eagles give you his picks for this week. Maurice is in New Jersey up next. Maurice.
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's up, Maurice? How are you?
I'm doing good, doing good. It's Friday. I'm off for work. I'm doing pretty good.
Hallelujah.
Happy Friday.
It is Burger Day in the cafeteria. It's very exciting.
I'm telling you, and the guys at my job, they're getting on me. They don't think we have a chance. But listen, we've been hearing a lot of gripes, and I think it's warranted with regards to Donnell. But he's on this team. I think when they interviewed Beckham was like, well, there's 11 guys out there, so – you know, they got to produce. They was asking, like, oh, since Victor Cruz is out, listen, Cruz is not going to play. We need Donnell and also other people to step up. But if Eli had that tight end, that could just be so dominant. You remember after that Redskins game last year, and then Arizona paid so much attention to him, it was like he was virtually shut down. Mm-hmm. I need him to contribute. He's shown flashes. Like some of my fellas, they like, oh, he's done. I still believe in the kid. He got size, and he's made some good catches, and he's dropped.
Definitely
has
size. Yeah, he's a big dude.
He dropped some balls that make you scratch your head. But I think, you know, since this defense is, you know, so stout, he has to be productive. Like, and I also think, you know, they're a stout defense. So can Eli go up to that line? And he's always been good at this, watching Giants football. He, like, with a hard count, make them tip their hand, you know, a little bit. And then he, you know, set things up, make his checks. But I kind of want to see some little draws. And when Vereen comes in the game, let's throw it to Andre Williams. Let's throw it to Rashard Jennings, because I don't want it to be so obvious when Vereen checks in, oh, they're going to throw out the back. So now let's use all these guys in that kind of a, you know, in that style. And I think, you know, we got to win one-on-one. Reuben Randle, come on now. You're playing for your future here. It's last year of your contract with the Giants. You know, who knows he's going to come back. But this team, like OC had a press conference. He said, listen, this team has the coaching, and they just got to put it together. And Devon Kennard, he needs to rush. They got to send that boy. They got to let him off the hook. And because you got to get to this kid what's his name, Taylor?
Yes.
Yeah, you got to get to this guy. And at least if you don't get – because sometimes a QB hurry or a rush is, you know, it's as equal as a sack.
Shortest.
Get him off of his spot. And, you know, Spaz can draw these blitzes up, but you got to get home. And I think what's my man named JT Thomas? I think he's going to have to be significant because, you know, we used to use Jaquan Williams a lot as a fast linebacker that could cover some space. I don't know kind of what their offense look like. I haven't really studied them. But I think from what I'm just thinking, he needs to be getting a lot of snaps because I don't know, you know, is Shady going to play? Do anyone know? Does anyone know?
We'll know more today, but it doesn't look good for McCoy or Watkins, in my opinion.
Okay, well, that bodes well for us. But listen, like, I'll just leave you guys with this. Eli is going to be hostile. Eli got to get up there, and if we can go, like, quick tempo, you know, quiet them up, get a couple first downs, they'll be quiet, I promise you. And he, you know, when it's on third down, give him a hard count. And Donnell, I'm going to leave you with this, Donnell has to have over 40 reception yards. Vereen has to have at least 30 or more reception yards. And Randle has to have at least 7 or more receptions. And, you know, we got to be productive on Sunday. And I'm going to leave you with that, gentlemen. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Mo.
All right, Mo,
well, I want to focus in on the Donnell stuff because I do think he could be an X factor in this game, Jeff. I think Maurice makes a great point. You know, they play man outside. That means you're probably going to get either a linebacker or a safety depending on the play in Donnell. And we know he has the physical athletic ability to win those matchups. Why can't he do it more consistently?
It's mental. It's all mental. He's just got to go out and play football and make some plays. I mean, it just seems like he's trying to put a square peg in a round hole sometime and understand the concept, what the play is asking you to do. Go out there and run the play, run your route, and when the ball comes your way, don't think about anything other than catching it and then getting a first down or whatever you got to do and stay on your feet.
To me, Jeff, there are two big parts of this game.
Stay on your feet.
The first part of the game is a lot of it's going to be mental, and a lot of it's going to be pre-snap between the offensive line and Eli. Are they going to be able to identify and then physically block the pass rush of the Bills? But then, once you get into the play, it's going to be about can these Giant players go out there, beat the defenders, and make plays to make the Bills pay for some of the chances that they take.
And that's has to happen. And the only way that's going to happen is that offensive line and Eli are on the same page for protection and that they gives Eli some sort of a time to throw the football because it's hard in the NFL to cover all these guys one-on-one. And I don't know anybody that can cover Odell Beckham one-on-one. There's no way.
He's too quick.
There's
too fast.
No way. Okay. Yeah, maybe Reuben Randle because he's not that quick off the ball. But, you know, then that tells you, like John said, it puts the tight end into play and the running backs into play. So, yeah, protection is the key to getting Eli and this passing game going on Sunday. They certainly need to run the football, too. We're not talking about just dropping back and throwing the ball 75 times. They got to be able to run the football. And I think they can run the football on this team. I know they're good, but I think this offensive line can get it done this week.
Big challenge, 201-939-4513. Nick in New York has been holding the longest. Nick.
What's up, Nick?
Hey, how are you, fellas?
Doing well, Nick. How are you? Doing well.
I'm okay. I just want to call about the game.
Yep.
I think I'm going to echo a lot of things you've already said, so bear with me.
No problem.
I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think it's an interesting matchup. The Bills do like to run the ball. The Giants have been, to their credit, good against the run this year. And the Giants, on the other hand, they're going to have to run the ball on offense. They're going to have to run the ball better than they have all year.
Yes.
Because if they become one-dimensional against that defense, I don't think it will bode well.
I'll tell you what, the worst thing, Nick, you can do against this Bills team is be in third and long. If you're in third and long, you're in loads of trouble.
Because there's loads of guys coming after you.
From all different directions.
Yeah.
And I'd like to know, is Flowers okay for the game or no?
We'll know more in about 20 minutes when Tom Coughlin speaks to the media. He's been limited in practice all week long. Tom said he was a little gimpy earlier in the week, whatever that means. So we'll have a better idea. As me and Jeff said earlier in the show, my guess is that he's going to make the trip, and he'll either be probable or questionable. I doubt since he's practiced he'd be listed as doubtful. So I think he'll be there, and we'll know more in about 20 minutes.
I hope so, because if they have Flowers, I think they'll have a chance to run the ball. But if you go with Jerry and no Fells and Donnell as you're on your line running against that defense, it's going to be a struggle. I mean, I think the key for the Giants is keep the game close. You don't want to get behind by more than a touchdown. Because if that happens and the Giants become one-dimensional, it could snowball rather quickly.
And John said it earlier in our show, you know, this team, you don't think that the Buffalo Bills is a team that puts up a bunch of points.
This team can.
These guys average 33 points a game. So if that's the case, then, you know, the Giants are going to need to do a lot on offense to keep up with their scoring from the Bills.
Yeah, but that would mean them doing something they really haven't done that well this year. Once they're in the red zone to score touchdowns and not field goals.
Correct.
They're going to have to score touchdowns. But it's going to sound cliche, but if they can get a few turnovers, play a short field, the special teams is ever going to step forward. Today's Sunday would be the game to do it.
Yeah.
You know, agreed.
It's a toss-up game, but here's the thing that concerns me. One last question.
Yeah.
Name the last time since the end of the 2012 season the Giants have beat a quality opponent and the Bills are a quality opponent.
If you go through it, there's only a couple playoff teams that the Giants have checked the box on over the last couple of years, and I think one was one of the teams that won the NFC South last year or came close to it based on their record. But you're right. And John Mara said that in his postseason press conference, that he understands that the wins have not come against the best team. So that's why, Nick, this is such an important game. You want to go out there. You want to show.
It's a very important game.
Beat
can beat
a good team on the road.
Buffalo. You know, next week is a very winnable game against the Niners, because the Niners seem to be, you know, after their opening game, they have seemed to just regressed. You know, so it's a very, very important game.
Thank you.
Well, good luck to the Giants this Sunday, and thank you for taking my call.
Appreciate the call, Nick. And I want to touch on Flowers for a second, Jeff, if that's okay. And
whatever you want to do, John. You're the host.
And so then I'll let you circle back on the point you were just about to make before I interrupted you. Flowers, fans have said it's a very important for him to play in this game. But is there an argument to be made that you'd rather have a veteran out there with a little bit more experience that might be able to deal with the complexities of this Bills pass rush, or does Flowers' physicality count for more than any of that mental preparation or previous experience could help?
Well, I think that, I think all coaches like experience. I mean, especially when you're going to go up against a defense like this.
They also like huge maulers.
But they also like
Eric Flowers.
Huge maulers in the run game. But what I don't like, too, is the fact that if he does come back, he hasn't played in a week, and he hasn't really practiced that much, full live go. So if he is healthy and you put him back in
there. Here comes Mario Williams.
So, yeah, it's a tough question, and it's a tough answer, really. But I would believe that a healthy Flowers, where he had a toothache last week and he wasn't able to play, could come back and play this week. But that's not the case. An ankle playing tackle is a tough one. So, You know, but I think they would like to get him back in the lineup so that they can have that continuity with that offensive line again, so they're not shifting guys all around. The more those guys play next to each other, the better off the offense becomes.
And the Bills will move guys around, by the way. Mario Williams is actually usually on the left side for the Bills over the right tackle, but he will move around to both sides just to be accurate.
He is very active on third down. In fact, the statistics I was seeing on him were incredible. Third down sacks since 2012, he's had 19.5 on third down. And this guy's had 92 sacks since 2006.
Here we go. At Joe Banzola, need to throw quick slants on first down, play action passes. We run on first down and get ourselves in the second along way too much. Your thoughts on that, Jeff?
Well, that's the only – I mean, how many times when Gilbride was here did we see second and 10 and we could – everybody in the stands could call that play, right?
But, of course, you can be in second and 10 just as easily if you throw an incomplete pass on a play action.
No, but I think that you look at the teams that are successful on third down, they get into the third and shorts, you know, and even second and shorts, because that production on first and second down is imperative.
What do you think about play action, though, on first down in this game?
I think it can help you, but I just think you got to be careful because, you know, the second and 10 play call is so difficult because you got to get something on that second down to give you a chance on third down. So, you know, the play action, yeah, it could freeze, but we've talked about this. The Bills corners and safeties are good. And, you know, I don't know. That's just my point.
Fans, Big Blue Kickoff is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way everyone plays fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today. Jeff will go through your picks in about 10 minutes, let's say.
All right.
I want to get to a couple more calls first.
I'm just making sure they typed everything up here for me, right? Okay. All right. Yeah, we're good. Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Len in Maryland before we get Jeff's insight. Leonard?
Leonard.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
How are you, pal?
What's up?
Hey, listen, first thing, let's remember this. It's Tyrod Taylor, guys.
What have we been calling
Come
him?
On. It's not Aaron Rodgers.
Oh. No, but Len, but it's also not Michael Vick. Also not Kirk Cousins.
Listen, no excuse for Tyrod Taylor.
He's played pretty well, Len, I'm telling you.
I'm only going with what he's up to.
Len, I've watched almost all snaps this year. Kid is not a bad football player. I'm not telling you he's Aaron Rodgers. I'm not telling you he's Andrew Luck, but he's not bad.
Okay. Let's move on.
Okay.
I just from my standpoint, no excuse. And listen, can't wait for this game on Sunday. It's been 10 days. I mean, this is ridiculous.
You're antsy.
I mean, we've got to play. Got to see the Giants every week. I mean, we can't wait 10 days.
Well, you're going to see them every week.
I know the players like the 10 days, but for me as a fan, it's killing me.
Killing me.
All right. Listen, you know, a couple of things. John, I like what you alluded to earlier in the show. And you seem to be saying, and I agree with you on this, that, listen, let's not get hung up on this pass rush thing. Right? It's nice to have a pass rush. And let's keep this guy under control. Let's give him 80 yards instead of 55 yards to drive this team. The more plays Tyrod Taylor has to run, the more chance we get a mistake out of Tyrod Taylor.
I agree. Lenny, I think you hit it on the head. You want to make this team methodically work their way down the field. Now they can do that by running the football.
Keep him in the pocket. And we've done a good job on the edge this year. We really have. We've done a nice job on the edge. Let's keep him reasonably in control in that pocket. I'll take my chances with DRC in front.
And Len, by the way, the Giants have done a good job this year limiting opposition's big plays. You know, their overall defensive ranking's not very good, but if you take a look at their big play defense, it's been excellent.
The more plays this kid has to run, the more chance there is he's going to make a mistake. On the defensive side of the ball, and Jeff, I like the way you've been talking about that. Front three and the, some of the linebackers. I know they do. You know, Ryan does a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of hybrid stuff in there. But for me, here's the key: we got to get Darius blocked in the middle of that line. If we're talking about Darius on Monday morning, we didn't have a good time on Sunday. Now we don't have to. You know, we don't have to obliterate him, but we got to keep him somewhat under control. Come on, Weston Richburg, this is a big game. Do your job, maybe a little help from one of the guards. But if we have to commit too much to him, I don't think we can gain 50 yards on the ground. The guy is really good. I know the Williams guys are good, but, man, Darius is good.
He's a beast.
We got to get him under control.
Well, they can, you know, they're going to have their hands full trying to move him around. But, you know, game plan them, you know, just double team them if you have to, and get that running game going, because like we've been talking about all morning or afternoon, whatever it is, the fact is this team cannot become one-dimensional, and they've got to attempt to try to run the football against a very good defensive front seven for the Bills.
All right, Len, final thoughts.
All right, well,
I guess Len's gone. Okay, thanks for the call.
Thanks,
we appreciate it. 201-939-4513. I think Len's predicting a win anyway. I think that was going to be his final thought.
He was jacked up. I mean, he's got a little bit of the shakes.
I will sum up Len's call for him. Somebody go out there and make a play.
There you
go. And as long as you have Eli Manning on the field, you got a great chance of winning.
Exactly.
I think I have a 75% chance of getting the end of Len's call right anyway. Appreciate it, Len.
And he's not a big fan of Taylor either, by the way.
No, look, I get it. He's not a big name. He's only started three games in his career. He's
a career
backup.
And that's why I was saying in our open that these guys have not proven to me anything. Tyrod Taylor has not proven to me. He's proven that he's been a pretty good quarterback for 3 weeks.
Yeah,
but, I mean, I'm telling you, I've seen it too many times, and so have you.
Let's see him sustain it.
Show me how good he is on Sunday, and then I might change my mind. But I still think these young guys, they have these games they come into, and bam. I mean, look, it happens. It's got to happen this week on Sunday.
Absolutely right. But the last thing you want to do is overlook the kid, though, because he doesn't have a big name.
I'm not hanging my hat that he's going to have a bad day. I'm just saying that there is a propensity for this to happen. And if the Giants get after him and get him to force him to make mistakes, like you said earlier when they played New England in the first half, that's what you got to do.
And for young guys, mistakes can snowball. If you look last week. And I realize Kaepernick has a lot of game experience, but age-wise, him and Taylor are probably around the same age. You saw him throw those two early pick sixes, and then Kaepernick looked gun-shy the rest of that game.
Sure. It's all mental for these young guys. They don't understand how to get back to it. They start pressing, and that's the problem. When they start pressing, they get out of their game plan, and they get out of the mentality of just, you know, hey, to be a good quarterback, but they start pressing stuff and throwing things. That's when good things happen for the opposing team.
All right, we'll do three more callers. We'll do Jeff's picks. Let's go to Charlie in Portland, Maine next. Charlie, what's up?
What's up, Charlie?
Hey, I see a bad moon rising. I see darkness on the way. Hey, guys.
Andre Rison's playing in this game on Sunday? I'm confused.
Oh, bad moon rising.
Well, that was Andre Rison's nickname.
Oh, that's true. You're right. Hey, I got two things. Hey, Jeff.
And what's going on?
Okay, that's number one. What's number two, Charlie?
Charlie, the day you call this show and tell it that you're just everything is rosy, peachy, cheeky, and I feel so good about this. We're gonna hang up on you.
I can't. This is not a good matchup. But I think we're wrong using three running back rotations.
Why?
I think we need to use two.
Why?
Because Williams is the type of dude that needs to get in the rhythm of the game. He's going to get stronger as the game goes on. He's going to have a feel for it. He's going to, because he's a tough runner. And I think then you bring in somebody like Vereen, then you have that Jacobs and Bradshaw thing going on. But with Jennings in there, it just breaks the whole thing up. It doesn't give Williams enough snaps to really get into the flow of the game and to really wear the other team out.
So one of those three are you not playing as much?
Jennings.
Okay.
I would go with Williams, and you got your pass catcher in Vereen. So you got Bradshaw and you got Jacobs. And that's where I think we should go back to, because I don't think they get in the rhythm of the game. And when you take somebody out and then you throw them back in, to me that's more of a chance of fumbling, because you're not in the flow of the game and you've been sitting for a while or standing, whatever they do on the sideline. So,
all right, that's your opinion. That's your opinion, and we respect
it. Yeah, it is. It is. And the other thing is, my other concern is, why aren't we signing Wes Welker? Let me give you a quote, what Tom Coughlin said. We brought him in here. He worked out. He was healthy. He worked out well for us. He was very active, and he was very quick. And we have a need right now for a spot corner. And before you say, like, well, we don't have enough time, this guy is a smart vet. He can pick up any offense very quickly. So I don't understand why we haven't signed the guy and to make our team better.
I'll respond to that. I think that we all know the type of player he's been, and he probably can still play. I think that there's still some question on his health with his head injuries and how many games they're going to get out of him, and having to be able to, if he does get hurt, then put him on IR and have to pay him. And so, I mean, he's healthy, physically healthy, but how healthy is his head up there if he takes a hit again? So I think that might be why.
Yeah, but why would Coughlin say that, though? Why would he say
he looked good.
He's ready to go?
Well, he's healthy because
– Well, Charlie, he doesn't currently have a concussion, but once you get one of those, you know, players become more susceptible to him.
So it's and that's why he's not on. That's why he's not on a team now. It's because nobody wants to take the risk of that type of player right now with the head injuries that he's had, and he's had some bad ones. I mean,
yeah, I know. I mean, if I was him, I wouldn't even try to play again. But the guy wants to play, and he is cleared, and he is healthy, and he does look good. We need a slot receiver. You know, Cruz is going to be out for a long time now. They don't know what they're doing with his calf. They don't know, they don't know what to do with inflammation. That's all I know. Using PPLs and causing more pain in him. And now it's going to be 6 to 8 weeks. Man, there's other ways to cut inflation.
Where is it? Have you heard it's 6 to 8 week injury now, Charlie? I haven't.
Yeah,
heard that.
That's what they said. They gave him the PPL, the platelet injection. It's going to take, they say, 2 to 6 weeks for it to even to work.
Those are just all reports, Charlie. I cannot verify the accuracy of any of those.
Well, I know. I wasn't expecting you to.
No.
Well,
you
thank you. At least we've learned the roles, Charlie. I appreciate that.
Good luck on Sunday. But
thanks, Charlie.
Our unconfirmed reporter, Charlie, will tell us all this information.
Thank you, Charlie.
Yeah.
Take it easy.
You're funny,
friend.
Charlie.
He's funny.
We enjoy you calling in, by the way.
Yeah, the Giants have not put any sort of timetable on the Victor Cruz thing,
give you guys the one thing
up.
You hope you don't see is what happened to Nat Burhe with his, they had to end up putting him on IR because of that calf injury. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right, Jeff, how about we do your picks here? We got two more calls, but I want to get your picks first.
All right. Hey, fans, here's my Week 4 DraftKings lineup. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, they offer weekly fantasy football contests with no season-long commitment. So here you go. Week 4 lineup. Going with the quarterback. I don't know, this guy's pretty good. Aaron Rodgers. Simply because he is on fire. And he's coming off a big Monday night performance where he threw 5 touchdowns. And I see that streak continuing this week against the 49ers. Rodgers listed for $7,900 and should have no problem this weekend scoring some points, which he does every weekend. And I don't know if they're playing at home or away. If they're playing at home, you can always bet on Aaron Rodgers at home. Not to throw picks, but he can throw a cut. Touchdowns. And my running back is Latavius.
Aaron Rodgers might be the safest fantasy pick ever any given week.
Yeah, just put him there every week.
Absolutely.
Latavius Murray is my running back sleeper. I expect Murray and the Raiders to keep rolling as they are playing a struggling Chicago Bears team. Murray should get plenty of attempts and have a pretty good day due to the fact that the Bears gave up over 100 yards rushing last week to Seattle's backup running back.
Name that backup running back, Jeff.
I cannot.
Thomas Rawls.
Thomas Rawls.
You go, Rawls.
And Murray's listed as $6,300. And my receiver pick is Larry Fitzgerald. And the reason behind it is because he and Palmer have been on the same page all season.
A revitalized Larry Fitzgerald,
unbelievable.
By the way.
Fitzgerald has over 5 TDs so far this season and is averaging 100 yards per game. I expect Fitzgerald and Palmer to keep connecting for him to have another big week. Fitzgerald is listed at $6,500. Okay, guys, so there they are. Aaron Rodgers, Latavius Murray, and Larry Fitzgerald. That's my DraftKings lineup for this week. To draft your own lineup, go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York. Claim your free entry today. There you go, Johnny.
Actually, a lot of people love the Raiders this week. I think the Bears might figure out a way to get a win at home.
They've
against
got to. I mean, the Raiders coming from the West Coast.
Cutler, Alshon Jeffrey, both questionable for that game, by the way.
Wow.
Now, if both those guys play, I think the Bears have a puncher's chance.
But you know what? You're right about Aaron Rodgers. The guy is just – he's in fuego.
Dude, how about the last 18 games in Green Bay? Some like 48 touchdowns and 0 interceptions.
Wow.
I think that's the tougher. I mean, my God, are you kidding me?
And
48-0?
And it just looks like
– dude.
I mean, he's got this smile on his face.
Jordy Nelson's out. Doesn't matter. I'll throw it to the sky. He doesn't care.
It's like he's playing –
Ty Montgomery, the rookie, sure. Devontae Adams, I don't care who it is. Richard Rodgers.
He's got
whatever.
A controller in his hand. He's playing Madden on the field, for real.
Like the Lance Meadow out there, I'll throw it to Meadow.
he'd get a completion to him somehow. I don't know. But
after Meadow got tackled, he'd be deceased, but that's okay.
He would never play again.
or probably host again, which means maybe we should get him out there.
Oh, my God. No. Let's, he can stick with playing flag football and, or basketball. Dude, was
Tecmo
basketball
Ball. Tecmo Bowl.
Tecmo Bowl. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Tecmo Bowl. A great game. So.
That was a fantastic game, Tecmo Bowl.
I was the last active player back in, I don't know how many years ago, that was on the Tecmo Bowl.
Is that true? Yeah. You're the last active player
from
the original
like the guys are. I was fantastic. The only player left on Tecmo Bowl in the NFL years ago. And then when I retired, I got all these tweets like, oh, Feagles, how did you retire? You were the last active player on Tecmo Bowl. For our younger listeners and viewers, you've probably never heard of Tecmo Bowl.
Tecmo Bowl was a fantastic game for a regular Nintendo.
It was the first, like, real, you know, football game on video stuff, and it was.
You had the NFLPA license, then you had one for Tecmo Super Bowl on Super Nintendo. It was.
I could
fantastic.
Kick a 12-second hang time on Tecmo Bowl. It was incredible. So
you only got to play Tecmo Bowl to use the punters. Everyone else is running around with Bo Jackson all psyched up, and you're punting
the football.
With
all this draft, just all this fantasy stuff, there's no punting in fantasy. And I'll tell you another thing: there's no punting on.
There
the
are
red
field
zone.
Goal kickers, by the
there's
way.
There's field goal. Who cares about that field goal? What about the punter? How can we score points? And the other one is this: is the Red Zone channel. I'm watching the Red Zone channel, and they're gonna go. They go to a punt. They go to the next game. It
actually,
just
I take
pisses
no,
me off.
No, you're wrong, Jeff. They do show punts on the Red Zone
once in a blue moon
when they return for touchdowns.
That's what it is. Yeah, that's a bunch of BS, man.
Let's go. We got two calls in 4 minutes. Let's go to. I'll give the long distance
I
guy
no
the
love
chance
at
first.
The punting position.
Line 4, Jason in California. He wants to talk special teams.
There
though.
You go.
Maybe Jason wants to talk about punters. Jason, what do you got?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's happening?
What's up, Jay?
And I love Tecmo Bowl.
That's the best.
It's a great game.
My question is, I haven't looked at the Buffalo as far as how they defend special teams, but would you agree that our special teams have to at least put up 10 to maybe 14 points
Ooh.
To help win this game?
Special teams meaning 10
two
to
touchdowns a lot. I mean,
yeah. But you know what? In a game like this,
how about field position?
That I was just going to say that, you know, the field position, until that kickoff return for a touchdown, the Giants – that they gave up. The Giants' kick coverage team was top, one of the tops in the league.
The punt coverage team is still awesome.
And their punt coverage team, you know, Brad Wing is doing a heck of a job with what he's brought in here to do. So, but yeah, I mean, as far as field position in a game like this with two defenses that can stop the run, you're going to have to make, you know, each offense go a long ways, and I think special teams comes into play this one.
And I'll tell you what, Dwayne Harris has come pretty close, Jason, to breaking a couple this year.
Oh, sure. Now, that both these teams have really good field goal kickers. Josh Brown and Dan Carpenter are two good field goal kickers. And someone's going to have to make a play in this game, especially if the Giants can do it. They can, you know, win the game.
Right. All righty. I know you only have one more caller, so I'll be short today. But
thank you.
For the show. And go Tecmo Bowl.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks, Jason. I appreciate it.
I love it.
By the way, your thoughts on the Bills punter, Colton Schmidt. You know anything about the young man?
Just big, strong-legged guy. I mean, his net is over 40-something, 45 yards, which is incredible these days. But he can really do it, and he does a nice job putting the ball inside the 10-yard line. So, you know, from a defensive position, which the punting is, if you got a defense like Rex Ryan does – you want to have a nice punter that can put the ball inside the 20 or the 10-yard line because it lengthens the field for the opposing team, and that's what a good punter can do for a good defense.
All right, finally, Christian in New York will be our cleanup hitter today. Christian,
what's up?
Christian?
Hey, guys. Haven't talked to you in a little while now.
Yeah,
well,
long
you got
time
us
no
today.
Speak. What's up?
Well, I wanted to say that matchups like this is a big reason why I think we signed Shane Vereen, because if it's going to be a real tough day running the ball, you're going to get your running back yardage one way or another, and that'll be checkdowns to him. That'll be just high percentage throws to him, and I'm really excited for him this week. I'm actually starting him in my lineup for fantasy.
Well, you know, they want to get the ball to him, but, you know, a couple weeks ago, I think it was the Falcons that took him out of the game. I think he had one catch, but you're right. You got to get him involved, and especially in the screen game, him and Andre Williams. They can, you know, the Bills going to bring the house. You can check down on something or just throw that screen game or hit some draws in there with him. He can make some big plays. He's impressive. I've liked everything I've seen out of Vereen so far.
Oh, and one more quick thing. I was at the Giants-Redskins game, which is pretty awesome.
Good.